Baruch Hashem. So Michad Gisa, the first day of the week. Yidach Gisa, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, we will have definitely have opportunities to verge away from the typical Limud, Kiddushin, and so on and so forth, to throw ourselves into both the Halacha and the Hashkafa, and maybe also the Jewish history of and the Parshanut of the Purim. Purim is very, very, very multidimensional. But we are going to dive into a regular first day of the week schedule right now. Ramban, and then hopefully some time for Bekiyas, and then Hilchus Mezuzah, we've been off, we missed last week. But at the same time that we're going to open up a Ramban and Mishpatim, we're also going to see a Ramban that I think speaks to what you're eating right now. So take a look. At the very, very end, we mentioned a couple of times over the course of the past week that while the bulk of Mishpatim, the first five Aliyahs or so, are devoted to what we usually think about. When we think Mishpatim, we think about a whole array of mitzvahs, and that is certainly true for most Mishpatim, but at the same time, it's not true for all the Mishpatim. At the very, very end of Mishpatim, and after part of the last Aliyah of Mishpatim, goes back to the story of Har Sinai, Mamre Har Sinai, and sort of view this as the other half of the story of Matan Torah. A focus not so much on the giving of mitzvahs, the giving of content, as much as creating the relationship, the Nasa Vanishma, and the Geirus process. Ramban talks a fair amount about the Geirus process that Klal Yisrael undergo. They have the sprinkling here on, we're not going to focus on this Ramban, but you see Pasuk Vav in front of you. Vayasim ba'aganos, Moshe Rabbeinu shechtz a karban, puts the blood into aganos. Ramban works on what exactly is a ogen, or an agan. What is this? Some sort of container that was used for that he used to sprinkle the blood on Klal Yisrael. So that was the carbon aspect in the days of Beis Hamikdash, a garrison to bring a carbon, and if they're being sprinkled with blood, that implies that there's a tefillah going on as well, and that's a reference to the tefillah of the ger. And then at the very end, very, very mysterious pasuk, says that the leadership of the Jewish people get together, by Yiru SLK Yisrael, and they see Ribbono Shel Olam. Then the pasuk goes on to say, the next pasuk, that even though they had this vision, Ve'atzilei b'nei Yisrael, pasuk Yud Aleph, to the nobles of Klal Yisrael, to forward Atzilumar, lo shalach yado, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't send out his hand at them, they don't get attacked, it sounds like. By Yechazo Selakim, once again, they have a vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by Yochu, by Yishto. And they eat and drink. What's going on here? What is going on here? So in the previous pasuk, in pasuk Yud, at the red check, the end of Parashas Mishpatim, pasuk Yud, by Yiru SLK Yisrael, so he points out that means that they had some sort of merkava like nevuah. Pirish Rabbeinu Avram, pasuk Yud, Rabbeinu Avram, that's the Ibn Ezra writes that they see b'mara nevuah. That's some sort of prophetic vision. They didn't see God. You can't see God. He's not visible. He doesn't have a body. But they had a Mara Nebu, Kimo, he says, where Isis Hashem Nitzav Alam is Bech. The most, the 10 at the bottom says, I had a vision of Ribbono Shel Olam staying on his Bech. The Sachas Raglav Kimas and Libnas Tasapir. When the Pasuk describes under his Ribbono Shel Olam's feet, so to speak, is some sort of stonework, of sapphire. Oh, who should roll Yechezkel? That's similar to Yechezkel. Kemare Eben Sapir Demus Kisei. In the first chapter of Yechezkel, one of the most mysterious of all. Josh mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, he's learning Masechet Chagiga. Beginning of the second paragraph of Chagiga talks about Ma'aseh Merkava. What does it tell us? Ma'aseh Merkava, you were telling me just the other week. Ma'aseh Merkava. The Mishnah says, the opening Mishnah, the second paragraph.
You can't learn it with...
Right, restricted information. Kabbalah, one of the two main parts of Kabbalah. And the Mishnah talks about two parts of Kabbalah there. Ma'aseh Merkava, which is usually assumed to be the sixth paragraph of Yeshayahu, but mostly the first paragraph of Yechezkel, and the other part of Kabbalah mentioned there is Ma'aseh Rishis. Maaseh Rishis. At the first parak of Rishis, which is also, as Ramban reminds us time and again in the beginning of Rishis, deeply Kabbalistic. These are two main parts of it. So Maaseh Merkava, the beginning, Yecheskel, this whole vision of the Kisei HaKava, and the Malachim, and Yishayahu talks about this a little bit. We had this in the Haftarah for Parshas Yisro. Yecheskel is more vivid, more descriptive. That's the Haftarah for the first day of Shavuos. The two times that we lay the Aseres HaDivros of Yisro is Parshas Yisro and the first day of Shavuos. So Parshas Yisro, we lay in the Merkava of Yishayahu. First day of Shavuos, we lay in the Merkava of Yecheskel. Either way, it's a description of a vision he has on beginning to understand and a visual representation of the relationships between the different parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual heavenly apparatus. The Srafim and the Chayos, different types of Malachim. Say the word, I don't know what it means. The Kisei HaKavod. What's a Kisei HaKavod? A throne of glory. A seat, an honorable chair. You get the chash of a seat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a metaphor. God doesn't have a body, he doesn't sit anywhere. So he has a chash of a seat. What does a chash of a seat mean? What is the chash of a seat for a person? In very, very simple terms. Right? If you're in a shul, right, and the rabbi has a chair up front, you walk into a well-appointed office. So the man or woman whose office it is has a nice, you know, puffy leather office chair behind the desk, and a guest or a client sits in the simpler chair that's facing the desk. So that chair is, in human terms, a Kisei HaKavod. It's a nice chair, and it's a place, so to speak, for an important individual. And not only is it his place, but it's a place, not just practically he has a place to sit and work, but also it's a place that says something about this person's significance. It's this man's office. The nice, big, puffy, oversized leather executive chair that's right in front of the corner windows, you know, that this is what, the man who sits there, the woman who sits there is the executive. The Zeh Kadosh Baruch has a Kisei HaKavod, again, it's a human metaphor, but it means somehow, what we would call a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means, but a location from where we perceive him as operating, and a type of a place that bespeaks not only getting stuff done, but also covered. So it tells us something about the significance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. So when Yecheskel describes, now this is very, very obviously imperfect human metaphor for a divine reality, but Yecheskel understands somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, his presence is more perceivable in a certain place, and what does he describe that as? As being made out of sapphire, or the blue precious stone. So Rabban says it's the same description here. They have a vision of Ribono Shel Olam, and below his feet is sapphire work. So whatever the significance of the sapphire is, really, no, obviously it's nice. Sapphire is nice, emerald is nice, time is nice. Why adopt the sapphire? That we don't know. But it's that same imagery, that same metaphor we use here as there. So again, setting the stage. Where's Shafransky? Setting the stage. So first we give a description of the scene.
Thanks, go on.
Thank you. Description of the scene, Pastor Gilad, these members of Kalad, these leaders of Kalad Yisrael, they have some sort of very high-level vision, like in their Kaaba vision of Oshel. What happens? They do what you guys who came on time are doing. They're eating. And they're drinking. They have this vision of Oshel, Pastor Gilad, and they're eating and drinking. And they're not punished for that. Send out his hand, sounds like, to strike down these Atzile B'nai Yisrael. What's going on? So Rashi says, how are you talking? You're eating and drinking? It's such an exalted moment. All you could do is party? What's your problem? They'll be punished, but not yet. But if you got to Rashi and Zasejah, they'll be punished. The other Benavir are going to have it coming to them, but it's not going to be until Parsha Shemini. Says Rashi, says Ramban, here's the green check. Pasuk Yud Aleph. These Atzilim, what are Atzilim?
is that Tzilim are Nadav, Abiram, and Zakenim that accompany Moshe and Aaron. Ukaram can, what do they call that Tzilim? Who's holding in Hasidus, who recognizes the Shoresh?
Ah, very good. Right, so in the Hasidic thought, that there's supposed to be four worlds. Moshe Tevis Abia, Aleph Beis Yud Ayin. Everyone who uses a seriousness of Sfarad Siddur knows that you think about the davening as going up and down a mountain. It works somewhat in Nusach Ashkaz, it works fully in Nusach Sfarad. You have Karbanos, Psukit Zimra, Shema and Kedusha that goes along with Shema, and at the top you have Shmona Esrei, and what goes along with Shmona Esrei, of course? Tachon. Tachon is an extremely important part of davening. Tachon is the enhancer and multiplier of Shmona Esrei. And then you work your way down. From level 4, and then you work your way down to level 3 is Ashrei Velotzion, which has a Kedusha, just a sitting Kedusha, just like the sitting Kedusha of Kriya Shema. And you work your way down some more, and so far, the next thing is Shir Shalyom, which parallels the Pesukim Zimra, and more praises of Rabbeinu Shalom from Tehillim. And finally, you work your way down even further, after, in this Sfar before Aleinu, after Shir Shalyom, is Ketoros, which is the other half of Karbanos that corresponds to Karbanos day before. You work your way up, Karbanos, Pesukim Zimra, Kriya Shema and Kedusha, at the top of the mountain, at the summit, is Shmona Esrei Tachanim, and then Asher Lotzion, Shir Shalyom, and Ketoros. Oh, Karbanos at the bottom. That's the only part I can really explain. I can explain the bottom and the top. The bottom, in Hasidic literature, I think this raised earlier precursors in pre-Hasidic Kabbalistic literature. There's an understanding that there's sort of like this this stages of transitioning from the physical world to the spiritual world. Just occurred to me, I'm not sure if any of the Sfarim relate this to the Gemara in Menachos, that talks about Chiyaz Dom Yam, Yam Dom Lakir, Chiyaz Dom Lakir Sakam, also four levels, sure. Yish Laim, look at the Sfarim to see if they understand that Gemara in Menachos, worth looking into. Anyways, Olam Asiya is the Olam HaGashmi. Olam Asiya is the world of, the realm of action at this physical world. Then you work your way up to Yitzira, Berea, and Atzilus. Can't fully explain what it is. But Tzilos is when you're when a human being can be in the most direct, the least indirect connection with HaKadosh Baruch. So the understanding is Karbanos is a particularly physical expression of Ovos Hashem. We say Karbanos, but the idea is to do Karbanos. That's all in Ha'asida. And you sort of you work your way up from there, up the mountain, so to speak, towards greater and greater, more unvarnished closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that pinnacle, that summits at Shmona Esrei, that you need Sifrei Chasidus for, that's the Rambam, the Perek Dal Halacha Tes Zayin, and Avil Tefillah, that's the corner of Brisk and Breslov. I think we spoke about it earlier, maybe. Right? And then you work your way back down to, Rosh Hashanah doesn't want you to be Tzilos all the time. Yeah, that's like we saw in the Kuzri the other week. Right? You have your moments of Shmona Esrei, and then you work it back down, transition, just like a diver. It's like a diver, where are our doors going to be? It's just like a diver, everyone knows that if you dive deep enough, you go scuba diving, you don't come right back up. You get a terrible bend. Everyone knows if you're...
You get bubbles, nitrogen builds up.
Yeah, it can be incredibly painful, and sometimes...
Brain damage.
Yeah. Or, to take an example of a sport that might be somewhat more familiar to some of you, let's say you want to successfully beat an old rival on the basketball court. So if you just go out cold, the game is cold for 7:15, you show up to the gym at 7:14, you're not going to be very effective on the polished wood. Right? You got to warm up. You warm up, you change your warm up, you make hakadas, you get more and more in until you're ready for action. Lahavgil. And then also, if you don't want to be incredibly sore the next day, you're going to want to cool down afterwards. You want to transition your body back to regular functioning. So the same is true. What's true in terms of physical life is also true in terms of spiritual energy. You can't just jump into Shmona Esrei. You can't just jump out of Shmona Esrei. You want to do it right, you have to warm up. You've got to build up step by step by step. And that's part of the function of Karbanos. And then, that's why you have
perhaps when I have smichas gulot, the kriya shema before shema, right? And then you have the, so to speak, the spiritual cool down, not to become cold, but to transition back from the intensity of a shema esrei and tachron back to walking out of shul with aleinu. That's three steps in between. So the language, again, tied back, our focus right now is not the shema esrei, but the language, asiya, yitzira, beria, atzilus, and then back again to beria, yitzira, asiya. Rosh Tevis is abiyah. Aleph Bez Yud Ayin. If you look at a seriously chassidish siddur that they often have on the top of the page, they tell you which ayin you're in right now. So the Ramban says, but that word atzilut is from right here. Atzilei b'nei Yisrael. Ukram kein ki ne, he doesn't, yeah. Ki ne'etzal aleihem ruach elokim. They had a wash, an overflow, an endowment of the ruach of Rabbeinu Shlomo was poured upon them. Ne'atzilei kerasicha. Ha'ne'etzalim. You find this elsewhere. Or, either means that there was an overflow of the Ruach HaLokim onto them. That's what's called that Silei B'nei Yisrael, the people who were endowed with a special Ruach HaLokim. Or, HaGidolim, Shenetzalim, Kavim Ramachus. Or it can mean they were nobles, they were princes. Also, he says, there's, when you're at the Gemara says, that sometimes if you work for the king, That's itself. You have a little. You ride on his coattails in terms of prestige. You're a member of the royal family. You're a member of the presidential team. There's a certain prestige that goes along. That should go along with. Even you're not it. You're not the leader. But you're part of their retinue. You already have a certain chashivus. So they were the atzilei b'nei Yisrael. These, to put it together, these spiritual princes of Kol Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. So now let's think about this pasuk carefully. He says, so we have these Jewish nobles. These religious nobles, Nadav, Avihu, this Canaan, they're with company Moshe and Aaron, part of the way in the journey of Har Sinai. But Tam lo shalach yato. Tam, once again, as we've seen in the past, Ramban doesn't mean the reason for it. He uses the word Tam, it doesn't mean the flavor. He means the pshat. What's the pshat? What's the explanation of lo shalach yato? God didn't send his hand at these atzilim. There had been a warning. You can't just go up with Har Sinai. There were boundaries. So you might have thought these people should be punished for crossing the line, authorized persons only. There was such a rule, and yet they weren't punished. Why? Because they were authorized. Employees only. Right. Some people you can't go, but they weren't just a high employee. These were at Silah Ben Israel. These were special people. So they were allowed to go a little further. They couldn't go up all the way up Har Sinai, like Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were allowed to go beyond where other people went. Well, they weren't going to be punished. Already different than Rashi, who says, Lo Shalach Yadah means they really were deserving of punishment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, we'll wait a little bit. The Tamki Chazuah said, Okim. They didn't go too far. What does that mean? They ate and drank. Well, why are they eating and drinking for? What are you drinking for? You're home. You have a dining room at home. What are you eating and drinking Har Sinai for? Rashi says, in that fact, it's not there. Why are they eating and drinking Har Sinai? When do you ever have to eat and drink in a particular place?
Sukkah.
Oh, Sukkah. Good, 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 good. Keep it going. Aliyah Lerego, right? Karbanos says, "Sha'ol, listen to this. Sha'ol shama shlamim v'tachtes arav neokim. They brought shlamim, carbon shlamim. You eat. This is a new reality. Pre Matan Torah, you brought a carbon. Non-Jews can bring carbanos. The Gemara says only carbon ola. Mishnah, only carbon ola, only carbon ola. All those Hashem. There's no such thing called the Matan Torah as a human being sharing a carbon with a Kadosh Baruch Hu." The part was burnt on his back, and part I get to eat, that's only a Jewish reality. It speaks a lot to that hashkaf that is sort of presented by the Kuzkin. So, but where do you eat a karma shaman? Everyone says it's ever common. Where do you eat a karma shaman? Only Mishalayim. Right? Katche, there are two levels of karbanis. The katche, they're made different types, they fall into two categories. More holy, less holy. Kache kache, makatas asham, can only be eaten in that Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Azara. Almost like the eating of it is a quasi-avoda. Only the male Kohen can eat it, only in the Azara. Gemara says it's a chelik of the kapara. The less holy karbanos, the kachim kalim, the low-level karbanos, like a shlamim and a karban pesach, for those you can eat all of your egg. Any Jew can eat it, more or less, your tar, and anywhere in Yerushalayim, in general.
Any Jew, even if he has nothing to do with the karban?
Yes. As a matter of karban toda, you know the famous vars that Chazal have, that the karban toda is a lot of extra food and very little time in which to eat it, so that you're going to invite people to join you, and that's the source for the idea of making a sudas hoda. You can invite many people to join you, and in front of that whole barovam, you can tell everyone about how Kodesh Baruch was saved. But that the eaten, whoever Tahar, the Tahar Jew, is allowed to, maybe one or two other specifications also, but basically, most Tahar Jews are allowed to eat a carbon shlamin, or a carbon bechor, maybe, carbon shlamin, carbon toda, a carbon pesach if you're registered. But it has to be Yerushalayim.
So he says, the line below number 40, at the foothills on the mountain. They didn't go home. Yeah, you have a dining room at home. But you can't eat this at home. It's a carbon. It has to be inside the mechitza. Maybe the mechitza between men and women. It's a different type of mechitza. Maybe a mechitza that demarcates the zone of the enough degree of Kedushas HaMikdash that allows you to eat the carbon. He says, where's that zone? Nechalim Yerushalayim Lefim and Achoma. In the days of Yerushalayim, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's being inside the wall of Yerushalayim, not our wall of Yerushalayim. What we think of as the old Yerushalayim is really not so old. It's only that wall is only 400 years old or so, 500 years old. It goes back to when the Turkish sultans, Suleiman the Magnificent, so he was known by some. Suleiman is the one who built it. It was nice of him to build that wall, and it did save the Jews many points in time. But that's not an original wall. The walls that go back to the days of Bayesheni, so that original wall, the air that's Kedushin and Yerushalayim, you got to eat the Karmish Lama inside that zone. In the days of going back pre-Yerushalayim to Shiloh, the Chol HaRoeh. The Mishnah says, there was no wall. If you were close enough to Shiloh to be able to see, with an eye shot, that was considered to be the equivalent of Yerushalayim when it came to Shiloh. So what was the equivalent of the city, or of Machane Yisrael, when it came to Har Sinai? Interesting. Rabban's already saying that Har Sinai is exactly quasi-Mikdash. Kanai Nechal Lefneh Mizbeach Tachas Olava Machane. So here too, you had to be right around the mountain. You couldn't go back to where everyone was living. That would be like equivalent of outside Yerushalayim. The analog of Yerushalayim was the Sachta Sahar, right around the mountain. It should be noted, and this is something we'll never see again going forward, this is probably Rabban Shitaso, who understands that the main focus of building a Mishkan was to be a continuation of Mamre Har Sinai. Mamre Har Sinai was incredibly intense, but very temporary. The Mishkan will be somewhat less intense, but make it permanent. That's Rambam Shitaso, that Mishkan isn't really about, it wasn't primarily in response to the Chet HaEgel. The Tzivah's Mishkan came before the Chet HaEgel, and that's the differentiation between the Mishkan described in the end of Shemos versus Karbanos, that are the topic of Vayikra, because he understands that Mishkan is much more than just a place to bring Karbanos. Once you have a Mishkan, that's going to be the place to bring Karbanos too. But primarily the Mishkan isn't the place to bring Karbanos. We'll see going forward, and Rabban understands the Mishkan is primarily a hemshech of that kedusha, that rendezvous of Klai Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu at Mamre Har Sinai. This is Mamish Rabban L'shitaso. Even though Pidin, it was only Harosh Shah, it was only temporary, all the dinim of Har Sinai were Harosh Shah, but the Harosh Shah of Har Sinai was really a precursor to the dinim Lodoros of Mishkan, including even this notion of where can you eat karbanot, zones, halachic zones for karbanot. So Rabban says, what's going on here? Let's go back to the main thread. Rabban says, what's going on here? You have the prince of the Jewish people. They're allowed to go in deeper. They're allowed to go a little further than everyone else. They are net salim and ruach elokim. And they're eating karbanot. They come off of this amazing high. And they say, we have to eat the karbanot here. We can't go back to our home. The karbanot, they'll be like Yotze. We you're taking the karban too far. You have to do karban right here. So they sit down, and the pesach does not have this experience to eat the karbanas. The tamba yishtu, what are they drinking? What drinking? Karbanas are food. What are they drinking? And they need to wash it down. But why the Torah tell me? What are they drinking? Apparently they had a... They popped open a fresh bottle of Merlot. They popped open a Cabernet. Or maybe a bottle of champagne. They made a yomtov. A yomtov suda. Which yomtov? No, he doesn't say that. Which yomtov? Why the party? What are you saying? What are you saying? Are you looking up? Ramban says an idea that is, we have not experienced the Mamar Sinai ever since 3,500 years. Ramban is about to tell us an idea that I just heard quoted from Lemaisa a few days ago. Kichein chovel is small to Kabbalah Satorah. They made a Yom Tov Surah because we have a chiyur. We have a halachic requirement to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. Kasher tziva b'kasmu chol divrei Torah l'avanim. He says, later on in Chumash Devarim, it says you can come in there to Israel, you can rewrite, you can copy down the wall of Torah onto those big rocks you're going to set up. When you cross Yarden, it says, v'zabachta sham v'chalta sham. V'zabachta finish in Mekecha. You're going to bring carpet shlovim and you're going to have a party. A Sunas Mitzvah. Why Sunas Mitzvah? It's another stage of Kabbalah Satorah. It says, Shlomo says, Hachach lo lamad lo sunlach. When did that happen? Who recognizes that pasuk? Wisdom is given to you. Who tells that to Shlomo? Who tells that to Shlomo? You all know that? That's a famous, right? One of the most famous stories that the Sefer Torah tells about Shlomo. Right? He's a young man, he's a young king, and he has a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's your wish? What's your wish? And what's Shlomo say? He wants wisdom. Right? He wants insight. Inside the Torah, inside the people, inside to be able to lead Klal Yisrael, to judge Klal Yisrael. And Kadosh Baruch Hu famously says, you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for fame, guess what? You can get it all. Hachachma, but then, what happens? But the Iker was what he asked for. Hachachma v'hamada. He asked for chachma and for mada. Well, you figure out what that means. And what did he do when he got chachma and mada? He had a graduation party. Miyad, he makes a party. He pours champagne for all the avadim. Why is he pouring champagne for all the avadim? The answer is, Hama Rabbi Elazar. Ramban quotes and tells you the bottom is the Medrash Rabbah Shir Hashirim. A very, very famous line made famous by the Ramban. Mikan here underlined in green. Mikan Sha'osin Mishtal Higamra Shal Torah. This is a source that you're supposed to make a Suda. Lihigamra shel Torah, when you're gomer Torah, that's what we usually call a siyum. Right? The notion that a siyum is a sudas mitzvah comes from right here. Rashi says this pasuk tells us a chet. Rashi says a yechzer lokim, and in the middle of a yechzer lokim, you're just eating and drinking. Are you crazy? Rashi says this is an incredible chet. How could they have done this? We don't understand how they could have done such a serious chet. It seems so out of place. That's just, you understand that? Another Rabbiya, what were they thinking? You know. And Lamai says they'll be punished for it. Lo Shalach Yado, Rashi says, they deserve punishment? It's yet to come. Ramban says, no, this was the right thing to do. They're being praised for it. They went where they were supposed to go, and the proper reaction to what they just saw is to make a party. Vayochlu may just be karbanos. But where's the Vayishtu coming from? Says Ramban, Vayishtu? That's because it was a Suras Mitzvah. Suras Mitzvah, you have to have Basar Yadim. Never be David Aviv. It's not Vam Levinin Beis Hamikdash. David HaMelech is putting together donation of Beis Hamikdash. David HaMelech yearning, wished he could fulfill Beis Hamikdash. He was pining for it. One of his life's goals. He's going to be the first Melech of the world, Klal Yisrael. He's going to fight Amalek, and then the Sifrei tells us Mitzvah number three after Hamadas Melech and Melchamas Amalek, being Beis Hamikdash. He wanted that holy trifecta. He wanted all three. Navi tells him, I'm sorry, you can't have all three. You can't have all three. The hack will be completed by your son. Right?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't build Beis HaMikdash. So Dovid does everything he could. Everything he could. What does he do? He buys the real estate for Rav Na'ivusi, he buys our advice for Rav Na'ivusi, and he puts together the materials, the donations you're going to need to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Dovid Nemar B'David Avid, Sholom Melech made this Su'udas Mitzvah when he got the Chachma, and his father David is now Devam Levinah Beis HaMikdash when they were taking care of the donations to build the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't going to happen yet. If you take care of the donations, he's Bechul Hashem Zvach, and Yalla Ozo Hashem, and Yalla Yishol Pnei Hashem, and Yalla Besimcha Gedola. So remember now the clothesline of Rabban, the Af Khan, you ready? What's his last line? The Yom Chasunas HaTorah, Kenas, or they have the Chasun of the Torah. That's Rabban, not just a nice song by the three. They have the Chasun of the Torah, the wedding of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael via Maamar Har Sinai, via Matan Torah. Again, that's pulls to everything we're talking about. Now, this is Mishpatim is Maamar Har Sinai, not so much in terms of the giving of Torah as much as the building that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. You think of what he's saying, and I knew we were pointing out just a few days ago, that some of his examples have to do with ending, but the truth is most of his examples have to do with beginning. In Mikan Shavos and Sudul, he Gamra Shal Torah, sounds like ending Torah, or making a seum. But you think about the examples he gives, David HaMelech, it's hard to know what to call it, beginning or ending. I mean, he hadn't built a Beis HaMikdash yet, but perhaps he had completed everything he could do. Shlomo HaMelech was just getting started. I mean, on the other hand, he had gotten a lot of Chachma. And certainly here, on the one hand, it's they had just completed this incredibly intense Mara HaNevuah. But on the other hand, this is the Chasunas HaTorah, this is the wedding. They were just getting... Wedding is just the beginning. Sometimes people give a very strange brach to Chasan Kala. Sometimes people don't think what they say. Sometimes people say to Chasan Kala, the day of the wedding, should be the happiest day of your life. That is such a curse. No? The happy day of life means you're never going to be so happy again. It may probably be one of the most exciting days of your life. But hopefully you'll have far greater, deeper happiness as the months and years and decades roll on. It may be less razzle-dazzle. Maybe less exciting and thrilling. But hopefully the happiness is just getting started. And we'll get perhaps quieter, but far more deeper and far more meaningful as time goes on. If you say this is the Chasunas HaTorah, that means this is the very dramatic, thrilling, but just beginning of the relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So it's a Siyum, but and the truth, that's what every Siyum is. Every Siyum is an end, but also a beginning, as countless Messiahim have pointed out at their Siyum. That's why we dafka, that's why in the Tefillah of the Siyum, we talk about it's not done, but at a milestone. Now we're gonna go the next leg. So that's what he says. So though going back to those where we began, I told you we're gonna look at Ramban at the same time seems very abstract and yet has to do with the hamantashen that you're eating. It's about mishpatim, yet it's about purim. So what's talking of pshat? Here we go. Because he says, that's Sudas Mitzvah, comes from Mishpatim. That's the way it's supposed to be. To make a Sudas Mitzvah over Kabbalah's HaTorah is exactly what it ought to be. And part of Purim, as we'll talk about going forward some more, a big part of Purim, as you know, Purim was like Shavuos, or maybe even more like Yom Kippur. One of the ways in which Purim really is like Yom Kippur, there may be many, one of the ways in which it's substantively like Yom Kippur is both Yom Kippur and Purim are days of Kabbalah HaTorah. Yom Kippur is when Moshe Rabbeinu actually successfully comes down with Luchos Shnius and can actually begin to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's supposed to happen Shavuos V'Tammuz, but the Egel Azav sidetracked that. So Yom Kippur is when Moshe Rabbeinu begins to teach. Yom Kippur, Motzi Yom Kippur, that's when he begins to teach mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. And Purim is when there was a fresh re-Kabbalah HaTorah, now powered by Klal Yisrael themselves, Hadar Kiblu B'Mei HaShverish. That Gemara Megillah you've all seen in the past. There was a rededication to Torah mitzvahs in the aftermath of the Nes of Purim. So one of the many, many layers, threads of the Yontif of Purim is Kabbalah HaTorah. And we'll talk about that some more a different time. It's reflecting some of the Dina of the Megillah, so even it's very technical Dina of the Megillah. And that's what... this Ramban is directly relevant. If it's Yontif Kabbalah HaTorah, for that reason alone, it makes sense. Even leaving aside the Yeshua, leaving aside everything else, You try to figure out why is Purim different than Hanukkah, in part because, unlike Hanukkah, Purim is Yom Tov Kabbalah Satorah. Rabban says, Yom Tov Kabbalah Satorah, Mishta V'Simcha. Hanukkah is not Yom Tov Kabbalah Satorah, in this, nearly the same way that Purim is. You understand well, the physical parts of Purim are Dafka, an expression of a proper response to spiritual, much as the Gemara says in Pesach, and we saw this earlier in the year, that even the Amora who would fast, or at least eat minimally on Yom Tovim, but Shavuos is different. Because the evident degree Shavuos has that very significant physical part to the Simcha. Why? The Yom Tov Kabbalah Satorah. You would think just the opposite. Kabbalah Satorah, we should go ascetic. The Rambam says, no. You missed the point. If that's what you think is the correct response. As we saw in the Kuzri last week, right? A spiritual encounter calls for physical celebration because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual lessons to us are meant to blend the physical with the spiritual and meant to uplift what would otherwise be neutral or negative physicality into something God-focused and Torah-focused. And then Mela, of course, on Shavuos, on Purim, at the time of Mamre Har Sinai, you're going to have a Kabbalah's HaTorah, a Siyam, is a dafkan occasion to take cookies and make them into hamantash, to take what would otherwise be neutral food, neither good nor bad, and convert it to a vehicle for expressing our excitement and the value that we have for our spiritual pursuits and for spiritual accomplishments. So these are important lessons.